Shmuel Aleph Perk Tesayin Pasuk Ches. So Yishai and his sons have joined Shmuel at the Zevach, at the Karban, which was done a little bit as a subterfuge to get Shaul off the scent, but also is a necessary ritual that we're going to find out who's going to be the true king of Klal Yisrael. And the eldest son, Eliav, has been rejected because he gets angry too easily. So now, Vayikra Yishai el Avinadav. So Yishai calls the second son, Avinadav, Vaya Avirehu Lifnei Shmuel. And he passed him before Shmuel for consideration. I don't know if Shmuel had told Yishai that this is going to be for the purpose of a king, but nevertheless, the second son is now brought forward. And so he is presented before Shmuel, Vayomer gam bozeh lo bochar Hashem. And he said, this one too has not been chosen by God. So he got no sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmuel, so he concluded this must not be the chosen one. And again, according to some of the Mefarshim, this entire conversation is happening silently within Shmuel, and he's not explaining everything to Yishai and his sons. But nevertheless, they know something is going on. And the Medrash says that Shmuel actually attempted to anoint each one of Yishai's sons. And every time he would try to pour the oil wouldn't fall down with gravity out of the flowing out of the horn, but instead it receded upwards back into the horn. So when he tries to pour it on Eliav, it recedes. When he tries to pour it on Aminadav, not a drop is coming out. But when he's going to use it to anoint David, the oil is going to flow on its own accord without needing any help from anybody, because that's the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen. So we try Avinadav, we tried Eliav. Eliav's daughter Avichayil would marry Rechavam, the grandson of David. So in the end, there would be some royalty coming from Eliav, which might explain why he got a slightly different Lashon. But nevertheless, now two sons down, we try again. So Pasuk Tes, Vayaver Yishai Shamma, Yishai's third son that he presented was Shamma, as he is called also in Shmuel Beis, Vayomer Gam Bozeh Levochar Hashem. And Shmuel says, also this one, God did not choose. So, several rejects now we have gone through. Pasuk Yud, Vayaver Yishai Shivas Bonov Lufnei Shmuel. And so finally, Yishai presented his seven sons before Shmuel. But Vayomer Shmuel el Yishai lo bachar Hashem bo ela. But Shmuel said to Yishai, God did not choose these. Not one of them. None of them are the chosen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a discussion in Divrei HaYamim that David was in fact the seventh. So it's not seven plus David, so he was the eighth. It's that David was the seventh, and the other six sons weren't rightfully him. But the Medrash says that there were, in fact, eight sons. An eighth son named Eliyahu that was in the middle. And David was then the eighth son, rather than the seventh. And it's brought down as well that way elsewhere in Sefer Shmuel, rather than Divrei HaYamim. So there are various explanations about how the eight become seven. Some of it has to do with maternal or full brothers and sisters, Tzeruya and Abigail, who are related as well, that they were half-sisters from the mother and not from the father. And so back and forth they go. But in any case, whether David was the seventh or the eighth, the other brothers, none of them are suitable or have been chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the king of Klal Yisrael. So are there any left? So Yidala by Yomer Shmuel el Yishai, Hasamu Hanaorim. So Shmuel said to Yishai, are there no more youths? Are there no more young men? Now, no more young men implies boys. Hanaorim, David at this time was 29 years old. So, a boy he isn't exactly. And now Yishai says, Vayomer od sha'ar hakatan. And Yishai says, there still remains the little one. Vihine roe batzon. And he is tending to the sheep. So David is a shepherd, which is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes seeks out as a leader of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd. Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd. And David is a shepherd. He is the Katan. So the Chazal tell us on this Maimer that he is the Katan. The Gemara in Megillah says, David hu HaKatan, he made himself small from beginning to end. Before he was king, he made himself small compared to anybody who was greater than he was in Torah. When he was a king, he lowered himself before those who were greater than him in Chachma. Shaul was held accountable for being Moichel on his covet because he followed the people as a result. David did not try to be Moichel his covet as a melech. He was Moichel on his covet, the Ein Yaakov says, as a in Torah learning, not in leadership. Nobody led David around by the nose. He was clearly a man of his own, and he was the king. So why does he call him the Katan, even though he was close to 30 years old? He was very humble. He hid his greatness from his family, the Da'as Sofrim says. Some say that his father found him repulsive, found him something wrong with him. When David was young, apparently he prophesied, at least this is brought down by the Mamloes and others, that someday he would destroy the towns of the Plishtim, he would kill Goliath, or their great warrior, and build the Beis HaMikdash. So when everybody in Yishai's household heard this, they sent him out to tend to the sheep and stay away from everybody. Remember the anger and the frustration and envy that the brother showed toward Yosef when he had great dreams. So the idea that David may have expressed something similar, Yishai was going to short-circuit that before it turned into a true family feud. Others say that when Yishai called him HaKatan, he was saying David saw himself as a Katan, and out of his own humility, the Al-Sheikh says, he didn't join us because he felt he was so humble. Another pshat that's given by the Rama Mipano, he brings down the idea that David had no years of his own. The very famous medrash that David's 70 years were donated by Adam HaRishon, who was supposed to live 1,000 years, and instead donated 70 years so that the great David HaMelech would eventually live. And so he's a Katan. He's one who almost should not have existed, if not for the fact that he ended up with the donated years that would be his life. Part of the story about David, brought down by the Mamloes based on the Medrash, is that after his other 7 sons were born, when Shmuel asked, are there any more Na'arim, instead of are there any more Bunim? So according to a Medrash, anyway, after his 7 sons were born, Yishai separated from his wife, Nitzaves. He was concerned because his own lineage from Rus HaMoaviyah made him even a little nervous after all of the townsfolk and the wagging tongues and the idea that Boaz died the morning after he married Rus. Many people had doubts, and so he separated from his wife, but he had one time where they were together as man and wife again. Yishai was, according to the Medrash's version of the story, under the misapprehension that it was a slave woman who he was going to impregnate and then set free. Partially because of his roots in Moab, he was concerned about his yichus, so he thought maybe this is the one is appropriate with me. And instead, Yishai's wife slipped into the room under the guise of being the slave woman. So when Yishai's wife turned up pregnant, he wondered who was the father, and there was a kind of shunning that took place. And again, this is all a medrash, but a shunning that took place by Yishai and by the other brothers of David, worrying that he was illegitimate. And they made him a shepherd, and they didn't make him another member of the family in good standing. Nevertheless, what Shmuel is going to do is verify David's parentage, show that he is legitimate, and a tremendous joy will ensue from both Yishai and his wife. As the proof in the pudding, when the Navi says that this boy is legitimate and a true brother of everybody else, so this is going to be a great sign for David. Vayomer Shmuel el Yishai shilcha v'kochenu. So Shmuel said to Yishai, send for him and bring him here. Ki lo naso vad bo ofo. We will not sit down around the table until he arrives here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses shepherds to shepherd Klal Yisrael. And very famous descriptions in the Medrash, in the sources, that says that David used to graze his flock only in the Midbar where there were no owners. Shepherds are normally seen as low class because they steal from people's private property, but David would never permit them to do that. And when he led his sheep out to pasture, first he brought the very young tender lambs so they could eat the soft grass. Then he would bring the older sheep so they could eat the grass that was too tough for the young lambs. And then finally he would bring out the fully grown young sheep who could eat anything because they had great teeth and they were in the prime of life. And so David HaMelech's understanding of the different natures of the animals that he was tending and his great care to make sure that all the animals ate what was appropriate for them and that they were cared for properly made David a truly fantastic choice to lead Klal Yisrael and to understand each member of the kingdom that he was going to be in charge of. And so we will see more about David HaMelech shortly.